Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
A tech cautionary note now. In the tech world, hackers are variously freedom fighters, bad-behaved geniuses, truth-tellers, underground rock stars, and dangerous criminals where the objective is denial of service, identity theft, or exposure of private, even classified data to the public. In the world of cyber warfare, though, the objectives are much bigger. Full-scale attack on the GPS global positioning system that millions of civilians and military personnel rely on. Or destroying the digital backbone of the national power grid, invading and destroying the electronic systems of transferring money to shut down the economy, or disabling a city transportation system to turn the roads into gridlocked chaos to make way for perhaps an even more devastating conventional attack. It is these kinds of scenarios that James Lewis, a former diplomat and now a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, has explored in his work, Wargaming Cyber Attacks. We wanted to know if the scenarios he has explored with his counterparts in China and elsewhere bear any resemblance to the hack attacks we've seen in recent weeks. James Lewis, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Is the objective of cyber warfare those kinds of really big targets?
Those and more. It's a new kind of weapon, and people like any weapon, they can use it however they think best serves their needs. But yeah, those are among the targets that we know people have thought about.
And so when you do wargaming, you're not necessarily simulating hacking as much as you are anticipating some of these more futuristic and apocalyptic, quite frankly, sounding attacks.
We actually try and focus on not misunderstanding each other, on the assumption that these things are going to happen. It's kind of inevitable. And both sides have such deep suspicion of the other that it could very easily escalate into a much more damaging conflict. So what we're doing is trying to figure out a way to tone things down, you know, let there be clear lines of communication. It turns out to be really hard.
Now, in the nuke realm, and, you know, I go back to the 60s, as I'm sure you do, turn the missiles back, or we won't launch them, or explode them in midair. The countermeasures to the kind of misunderstandings you're talking about seemed relatively simple compared to the misunderstandings that can occur on digital cyber warfare weapons that can't really be called back once they're started.
No, that's true. They're much faster. They're available to a lot of people, and that's one of the concerns is that you could suspect China. This has happened in the U.S. We think it's China. It turns out to be three teenagers in Mendocino. We're getting better at figuring out who's doing what, but the risk of misidentifying. The bright side is these are nowhere near as destructive as nuclear weapons. So it's a risk. Nobody wants a war, but it's not going to be the kind of existential threat we faced in the 60s.
What do you make of the reports of hacks against the New York Times, the Department of Energy, some of the things we've seen in the past few weeks? Do they stack up as a kind of a precursor to all-out cyber war, or is this just something we tolerate in the high-tech world?
This is just normal run-of-the-mill stuff. It's been going on for a decade. I mean, people are beginning to notice it more. Energy was hacked apparently last week. You know, they were hacked in 2002 as well. So this is a normal activity for some countries to engage in cyber espionage. And it doesn't, if it's managed correctly, have to lead to warfare. We've put up with it for way too long, particularly from China. But no, it's not a precursor to armed conflict.
So what would we do to shut something like this down if our major competitor is China here? Or what might we do on the diplomatic level to develop some sort of protocol to mutually prevent this kind of thing from going on?
There's been a lot of work in the last two or three years among governments on trying to get this under control. One of the things that's been interesting to me is that governments around the world are now really concerned about cybersecurity. And so there's a few sets of negotiations going on. There was one with the Russians that got very close to agreement on a hotline for cyber attacks. Discussions with the Chinese are harder because, of course, they're doing the traditional Chinese thing, which is to say, it's not us, and in any case, you do it too, right? So you have to go through a year or so of that before you get to any real discussion.
How much involvement of private companies is required to make sure these things are implementable, whether we're talking about smartphone networks or something like Google or even the internet backbone, which is in private hands?
Not a lot, to tell you the truth, because people are staying away from very technical and prescriptive solutions. The big discussion point right now is, does international law, particularly the laws of armed conflict, apply to cyber war? And that would seem like a no-brainer, but people want to think through it. Governments are very cautious. The Russians and the Chinese see information as a weapon because they don't like free speech. So it's a tough issue, but right now it's at that level of discussion. What are the principles that should guide this new arena for conflict, not the specific sort of technical things that a company might be necessary for?
Well, if people agree that there is an international law component of cyber warfare control, what's the equivalent of a war criminal? Not to make specious comparisons or anything, but what would be a cyber war criminal in this new 21st century regime?
It'd be the same it would be in the physical world, which is someone who indiscriminately attacked civilian targets without military justification, someone who caused disproportionate and horrific damage. Those are hard to do with cyber attacks. Inadvertently attacking civil targets, easy to do because so many things are connected. So what people are worried about when they think about using the cyber weapons, at least in the U.S., is how do we ensure that we hit a military target and don't accidentally hit some civilians as well?
All right. The coming nomenclature, if not the experience itself, of cyber warfare, studied by James Lewis, former diplomat and senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, who's been wargaming cyber warfare scenarios with the Chinese. James Lewis, thanks so much.
Thank you.